Good morning. I'm Reverend John Wegraff, Outreach Minister for First Congregational Church, Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I want to welcome people from wherever you are and whenever you are, if you're watching us virtually or on video, you're welcome and can join us from wherever you are, whether it's Tucum Carey or Sandy Creek or Baldwinsville, New York, or Atlanta, Georgia, or just down the street. We want to welcome you into this time of worship. I used to tell the patients at Westboro State Hospital that there was one thing that God cannot do, and that always caught people's attention. And I told them the one thing that God cannot do is stop loving you. And of course, one person said, "Well, what about the people in hell?" And I said, God loves them too. He weeps for them like a mother who lost her child. God cannot stop being in love. And so it is our prayer for all of us today that in prayer and song and the hearing of the word, we are wrapped and wrapped in God's love to be strengthened, be lifted up. And I want to give a special thanks this morning to the worship leaders, Tom Foster and Wayne Zredder, Hank Zredder and Randy Brewer, who without their technical assistance, time and space would be a barrier. And so now I want to turn it over to Sarah Lynn, who I also want to thank for her guidance. She has some announcements for us.
Thank you, John. And yes, we offer a special warm welcome to the Reverend Dr. John Wegraff, who joins us in our pulpit today. John has served as the outreach minister here at First Church since 2008, and he is a chaplain at St. Vincent's Hospital at Worcester Medical Center, and he is also an adjunct faculty member in the Religion and Philosophy Department at Northeastern University and a lecturer in professional ethics at Assumption University. John's expertise and advocacy in mental health has resourced our church in many ways over the years. His perspective is a welcome addition to worship and preaching. John opens us up through his experience as a chaplain to the humanity and dignity of those coping with mental health issues. John has been a part of First Church long before he volunteered to join the staff as outreach minister, joining in 1985. And so we are happy that John can join us in worship today. Welcome, John. And I want to invite everyone to join us at a post-worship fellowship via Zoom. I do want to alert you that because Jonathan is on vacation this week, we have a different link to that meeting because I need to open the meeting. And so you'll find that link in a link that was sent out this morning in a join worship link if you receive the link newsletter. You can also find the link to this meeting at the end of the worship service. There will be a slide that gives you that link. And if you have any difficulty in getting into that call, please feel free to either text me, Sarah Lynn Keller, or you can email me and I will try to keep an eye on my email to let people into that meeting as well. We want to invite you to have a candle ready for after these announcements to light with us so that we can reach out our light across space and time. And we also invite you to share your prayer requests and celebrations with us this morning. You can do that by emailing admin@firstchurchnatick.org, and we will include your prayer requests and celebrations in our morning prayer, which comes after the sermon. So if you'll have some time, there is a slight broadcast delay. So if you are watching us on your local access channel, do know that you need to get those prayer requests to us a few minutes earlier than you might think. And We also want to invite you during the week on Wednesday at noon to join Jonathan and I for a midweek connection and prayer, where you can share your prayer requests and be in prayer with one another. It's a lovely time together. And that's Wednesdays at noon. That connection link is also available on our website or in the link newsletter. And this week, Jonathan is still on vacation until Wednesday. So if you have any pastoral care concerns, please feel free to email me at sarahlynn@firstchurchnatick.org, and I will forward the message to the appropriate person. And then after Wednesday, you can reach Jonathan by the normal methods of providing or sending an email to him at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org or giving him a call on his cell phone. And with that, we return to our worship. Let us now light our candles together. Remembering that by these friendly flames, the power of the Spirit, we are one in Christ. Now, please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God of grace, we thank you for your many blessings. Gather us into your presence and into the gift of this day. We come together in the unity of faith and seek your guidance. Grant that through song, prayer, and the hearing of the word, our hearts might be enlivened, our minds instructed, and our souls strengthened, that we might be open to the possibilities of peace, justice, and love that will call to us in the days ahead. All this we ask in the Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
And now I invite you to share the peace of Christ, reaching out your hands in a gesture of blessing, placing your hands over your heart with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. So we come now to that time in the service where we offer ourselves and our substance. You know, we do many things in the course of a worship service, or at least I do sometimes, without really reflecting on their significance and their importance. What does it mean in the context of worship? And I often think of something that happened to happened at Westboro State Hospital many years ago. When I first got to the hospital, I was doing services every Sunday, and, the offering was part of the service, and I felt a little bit funny about passing a plate around to the patients because they don't have much in the way of material possessions, and so I would just leave a basket on the altar, and whoever could or wished to would oftentimes sometimes in the middle of the service, because that's where they thought they should do it, and others at the end of the service would leave what they had, a dollar, a quarter, a couple of pennies, and that was it. And somehow word got out about this to the CEO that I was taking collection at the patient services, and I was instructed to stop that practice right away because, concerns was that we were taking advantage of these poor souls who were in this place against their will. So I removed the basket from the altar, and I informed the patients that offering would no longer be part of the service. That Sunday, and for several Sundays afterward, I started finding quarters on the floor next to chairs. I found dollar bills and hymnals. And I went to the CEO and I said, I can't stop them. They need to do this. And I thought about it, and I shared with him. I said, there's this story in the Bible about a woman who has only a single coin, and Christ accepts that as sufficient. And I told the CEO, I think offering is an important part of the service. This is something that enables the patients to offer a token that they're offering themselves to what's happening in this hour. It helps them feel a part of the broader world that is worshiping with them at the same time. So if you could please, let me put that basket back on the altar. And so I did. And that's what offering is all about. It's not simply offering, what material means we have, though that's important, whether by checks or, in this day and age, donating, via electronically. It's a way of us giving a token or a sign that we want to be part of God's work in this world, that we want to support the work of justice and the work of peace, the work of compassion and the work of love. And with that, we'll take our morning offer. Let us pray. Lord God, we gather in the sense of your abundance, you giver of all good gifts. And we give thanks for the many gifts that you have given us and offer these our gifts. And we offer ourselves to your work, that the work of peace and justice and healing and hope might go forward in this world of ours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the second letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. They deliberately ignore this fact that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago, and an earth was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world of that time was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the godless. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness? Here ends the reading of the Holy Word.
Let us pray. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart might be for our instruction and for our uplifting. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened. So do all who live to see such times, says Gandalf, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. How many of us have felt like Frodo over the last couple of months? I wish none of this had happened. I wish this pandemic had not happened. I wish 130,000 people hadn't died from the coronavirus. I wish George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery had never happened. I wish the brutality and the injustice and the unrest and the sadness and the sorrow and the grief and the anger, I wish it had never happened. That's not ours to decide. What are we going to do with the time that we're in? And I think that's part of the message of Peter to his audience. You don't get to choose the time that you're in. That has been from the beginning. What you get to choose is what you do with the time that's given you. That's a hard thing in some ways, I think, for modern people to understand. It's a hard concept to wrap our minds and our hearts around, that we're not in control of everything. That there are things that are grander and greater than us. And our job is to find our place in it. I spent a lot of time this week thinking about what I do with my time. I've had conversations with my son, Jeff, about all the time that we have in our hands in this new time. Jeff and I have talked about how time seems to go slowly for him, and I tell him it's because you're young, and the days are like 1,000 years. I said, time goes more quickly for me. It's like 1,000 years is a day, and that's because I'm older. And we ponder that and wonder about it. We talk about what we're doing with our time, how we can occupy ourselves. And so naturally, I went to the web and was kind of curious about how people spend their time. And I was actually amazed at some of what I found. I found out that we spend about 20 hours of our lives sleeping, or 20 years sleeping, 16 years working, 1 year looking for misplaced objects, 6 months sitting at stoplights, 4 years doing housework. I'm not guilty of that. 5 years waiting in line. And I even came across one list that estimates that we spend 0.5% to 0.7% being religious. I'm not sure exactly what being religious means. Seemed odd that we spend our time in that way, but it's true. There are also different philosophies of time, I discovered. I thought time was time, and it's not. There are philosophies of linear time and circular time, dimensionality, a la Albert Einstein, who said, space and time is a continuum. It's not a thing as much as an event. There's a philosophy of time called relationism. That is, there's no absolute time, but time is a function of the interaction of one thing with another. There's also, this is not so much a philosophy of time, but kind of a physiology of time, metabolic influence, which is actually what Jeff and I were talking about, how metabolic rates, depending on how old you are, affect your perception of time. But in all of that, it was really, I found myself wondering about how do I find myself in time? And once again, I think this is what Peter is asking the people he's speaking to do. Think about who you are and where you are, and whose time is it? And what are you doing with the time? Is it really your time, or is it about more than that? And I found a nice definition of time that I'm going to share with you. I have an even better one by Thomas Carlyle that I'm going to share later in the sermon. So this is the definition of time. Time is so ubiquitous that it covers absolutely everything we do. It encapsulates our existence and that of everything we know. And I like that word encapsulate. It gives me the sense, it gives us the sense that somehow time is the medium in which we exist. Time is the holding environment of the universe. And without time, the universe wouldn't be. The other thing that Peter calls the attention of his audience to is that, for God, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. That's Peter's way of saying that God is somehow outside of time. Time is unique to us. And then he hits them with the challenge, what are you doing with the time that has been given to you? You didn't create it. It was created, and you as part of it. And so I find myself thinking about, and I found myself looking for some image, some experience of of being in time and timing. So I would call your attention to the wave that I hope you can see. It's a beautiful wave. Sarah Lynn found it. And I found it so intriguing and the glory of it and the beauty of it and the power of it. So I want to talk a little bit about waves, because waves have a special kind of significance for me. Some people in the congregation know, some people don't, that I fancy myself a surfer. There's nothing I'd rather be doing on a sunny day in the summer, being out at some beach with the wind off the land, building up some nice 4 to 6 footers and getting out there on my surfboard. I'm a leisure surfer. That is, I'm a weekend surfer. There are actually three kinds of surfers. There are the folks who go out and just kind of bob in the surf, and they don't really surf the waves. They just want people to think that they're surfers. And then there are guys out there who are trying to figure it out and trying to find their way into the waves and the thrill and the joy of the ride. And sometimes they can do it and sometimes they can't. And then there are the gods of surfing, the guys who get towed into the 70 footers on ski-doos. And they're just beyond my comprehension. So I'm kind of in the middle. I'm a weekend surfer who likes to give it a go and has some appreciation for what's surfing might be about. A lot of people think surfing, or the hard thing about surfing, is standing on the board and riding the wave. That actually isn't what's difficult. By the time your board is in the wave and you're standing on it and you're running along the face of the wave, everything is pretty stable by then. And then you're just in the joy of it and the thrill of it. And you're not paying much more attention to anything but how good it feels. Actually, the challenging thing about surfing, there are two challenging things about surfing. The first challenging thing is getting into the wave. That's the hardest thing, is paddling in. And I've, come to the realization that there are two basic mistakes that you can make. One of the mistakes that you make is you don't paddle hard enough and the wave just kind of goes by you and, breaks somewhere in the distance and you can see the white foam tossing in the air and kind of saying to you, better luck next time, paddle harder. Then the other mistake you make is you paddle too hard and you get ahead of the wave and it crashes on top of you and gives you a pretty good roll and says, next time don't paddle so hard. So that's the first thing, and it's all about timing. And what you learn as a surfer is, you might have your kind of stopwatch going, but the wave has its own time, and a wave really isn't a thing. It's an event. It's something that happens over time, and it assumes shape and a form, and you need to find your way into it. And the first thing you need to learn is that you need to submit to it. You need to give yourself to what is happening around you. And if you don't, you're going to miss it, or it's going to crash on top of you. That's the first difficult thing. The second difficult thing is getting to your feet. And there's a critical moment, if you've paddled well and paddled correctly, when the energy of the wave gets a hold of your board. And suddenly your board is alive and the way that you can only feel it. And it happens at a moment in time. And as soon as you feel that happen, you've got to jump to your feet. And then it's going to be all good from there. If you jump too early, the wave will go by you and leave you behind. If you jump too late, the wave will drive the nose of your board down into the water, and you'll be covering up underneath, hoping your board doesn't hit you. You've got to get it right. You have to attune yourself to the wave. Tune yourself to something that's bigger than you, something that's sweeping you along. Now, I don't know that this is a perfect metaphor for what we've all been going through these last couple of weeks, months. And we tend to have kind of a narrow view of things, and so, you know, we think that, well, you know, these waves have come, and these waves have always been coming. There have been waves as long as there's been oceans. And the waves of God have been coming all along. But this is a big set. Surfers talk about sets of waves. They come in threes and fours. And you know, the good surfers are out there, and you might think they're just sitting out there bobbing on their boards, but the good ones are looking to the horizon and looking for the sets that are coming up. And every good surfer knows that the first two waves are not the ones to take. You take the third or the fourth because they're going to be the bigger ones. But they're always coming. And the other reality of it is that if you miss this set, there's another set coming. You're going to have another chance. So I guess what I'm doing is inviting people. I mean, this is my way of kind of finding myself in this, you know, these waves of pandemics and racial injustice, to kind of find some metaphor that gets me grounded in the midst of all this. And for me, it happens to be surfing. You know, everybody has their own thing that they do that helps them grounded. So I invite you to reflect on it this way. But the waves are upon us. There's no doubt about it. The waves calling out for justice and peace, the waves calling out for cooperation and collaboration and thinking of ourselves as part of something that's bigger than us. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Jonathan talked about wearing masks isn't just about protecting us, it's protecting other people, that we're all in this together, that we really need to find a way to think of ourselves as being part of something greater than ourselves. Racial injustice isn't just about people of color. It's about white people. We injure them and we injure ourselves in this madness that goes on. And we're doing it on our time. And I think it's time that we figure out that there's God's time. And that these waves of cries for justice, these waves of cries for peace, these waves of cries for caring for and considering one another, this is God's time. And these are God's ways. And we need to find our place in them. So I invite you, as difficult as these waves are, and these are big waves, there's no doubt about it. But they're worth trying to ride. because God sent them. I don't want to say, and I'm not saying that God caused racial injustice or God caused the pandemic, and in the sense that God is the source of it. But I am saying that God is the cause of it in the sense of he's the end of it. He's like Gandalf saying to us, decide what you're going to do with these waves. Make something good of it. Make something right out of it. Whatever caused the pandemic isn't what's so important, it's what we do with it. That we discover and confirm in ourselves and confirm among one another that this is the time to care and this is the time to be concerned for one another. God didn't cause racial injustice. We did. And it's been going on for a long time. Been going on for hundreds of years. It's been going on for thousands of years. This wave has been rolling in. It's time we find our place in it and make something good of it. And that something good is to find what's holy and divine, what's precious in one another, whatever color we are. Color doesn't matter. It's the wave of righteousness and the wave of justice, the wave of peace that will carry us forward if we get our timing right. If we realize that this time isn't our time, but it's God's time. Amen. We now come to that time of gathering together as a community in prayer. Certainly, there are concerns that we're all aware of that we cannot and at our peril would deny. The reality of the suffering that this pandemic has brought upon all people and the particular suffering that's brought upon people of color and marginalized communities. And certainly the concerns of racial injustice and the ever-present concerns of poverty and inequities in our socioeconomic system, they're always with us. And then there are the particular concerns that will hold up. And I believe Wayne has some concerns that he wants to share with us now.
Good morning. We join Anna Hayes with thoughts and prayers for Stephen Gordon, a family friend who has liver cancer that has metastasized. He has started immunotherapy and has been in and out of the hospital. They're concerned about the side effects that he is experiencing. Prayers go out to Jose, who is struggling. Prayers of comfort to Ina Portnoy and her family on the passing of her beloved brother-in-law, George Jacobs, who died this week after a 5-year battle with cancer. Prayers of gratitude for Natick Town meeting members who met virtually yesterday for many hours and accomplished their tasks under unusual circumstances. Lastly, please hold Tim Porter in prayer as he recovers from an accident involving burns, which occurred over the 4th of July weekend. A prayer shawl was delivered to Tim this week.
Let us pray. Lord God, your love is like an ever-flowing stream. Your love is like the waves on the ocean that roll without stopping. Your love is as grand and wide as a blue sky. Your love is as the earth under our feet. You are our keeper and our sustainer. And we pray that we would find our way into your time, for your time is about seeking justice and peace. Your time is about doing the works of love. Your time is about offering hope and bringing hope to one another. We pray that your spirit might find its way into our minds and our hearts in these troubled times. Help us find that place within ourselves where you dwell, where we can feel grounded and centered and prepared to seize the moment that you have given us. Let us be good stewards of your never-ending love in this world. We remember as well those who are struggling with drug addiction, with mental health issues. We remember those close to us who are suffering, as well as those outside of our awareness. We offer our prayers for their hope and their healing and for reconciliation among all people. We offer this prayer, Lord, as we offer all our prayers in the way that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Many years ago, I walked into a surf shop in Newport, Rhode Island to buy some wax for my surfboard, and the young woman behind the counter said to me, well, this is a good day because they're banging. And that surf talk for the surf is up. My friends, the surf is up. The surf, the waves for justice, the waves for peace, the waves for love and compassion are banging. Let's get our boards ready. Let us deliver ourselves into the waves of God and trust in his mercy, trust in his love, and seek peace. Amen.